Okay, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your goodness. Lord, you are a merciful God, a loving God. And Lord, you hear all these prayers. We lay them at your feet. We pray in faith, knowing that you have heard these prayers and you will respond according to your good and perfect will. Lord, we thank you that our brother Kenny and so many others are recovering from their afflictions, their illnesses. God, we do lift up Carrie Wayne to you. We lift up Richard and God, the others that are still battling different things. There are so many, really, Lord, to list now. But Lord, you know each and every situation. And God, you are the master physician. And so, Lord, we lay these illnesses and afflictions at your feet. We ask for a healing touch, each and every one of them. And God, we thank you, Lord, for all the good that's going on in our community. God, we thank you, Lord, for the peace and the prosperity that we experience in this great city and surrounding communities and county. Lord, we do lift up our sheriff. We ask for a hedge of protection around him each and every day. God, I pray that also for the deputies. God, all law enforcement, first responders, God, we don't want to take that for granted. We're blessed here. We are truly blessed. And we ask, Lord, for continual blessing and protection. God, I just pray for my brother Luke as he comes and he shares his testimony. He truly is a trophy of your grace and mercy and protection. It's an honor. It's an honor to have him come and share, to testify to who and what he knows. We love you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, without further ado, Luke, would you come on up? I met this brother just a couple of months ago. I got, I guess, the Cliff Note version of his testimony over dinner. And I was like, we got to get you scheduled. This is too good to keep just at the table. That we were going to look at the calendar and set a date and that he would come and he would share. So, church, would you welcome Luke Stumble?
Man, it's an honor and a privilege to speak amongst you people. Little background. I had a vision many years ago whenever I got locked up that I would be able to share what I had been through, and it would help somebody. People would be able to get just get something out of what my life has meant. And I don't come before you today to impress, but to impact. So I hope that I do have that effect. I don't normally title a speech, but especially not a testimony, but today I want to title this Rags to Riches, and I want to read a scripture out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. God gave me this revelation this morning, actually. He woke me up at 5 o'clock without an alarm and popped me out of bed, and I just started writing bullets, and it was great. It was amazing. And I broke down. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich." Let me pray over y'all, please. Lord, I come to you today knowing that in my time of need, the words will be provided. It is you who speaks through me. It is no longer I who is, but you who are through me. I pray that you bless this congregation. Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so my first time ever being on stage, I played Baby Jesus, and I did play Baby Jesus, and my mother didn't want to let anybody hold me, so she had to play Mary. So I'm no stranger to being on stage or behind a mic, but with that being said, my childhood was kind of tumultuous, right? I had conditions like ADHD, bipolarism. Later on, I was diagnosed with schizophrenia, things of this nature. These aren't excuses. These are just giving you context about my story. So I struggled for many, many, many years with mental conditions. And my parents, my mother, she's the only thing I really ever had to hold on to. I didn't really have a father figure in my life other than my brother. He's the only influence that I had, and him being so much older, I didn't get a whole lot of that. So I had just my mother. But anyway, going through school, it was kind of rough for me. I was always a smart kid. I was always the one getting in trouble because I was so bored in school that it just didn't make sense for me to be there. So I got kicked out. I got put into boot camp here in Missouri County. I got actually failed part of my ninth grade year and had to repeat some of those classes in 10th, and I caught back up. Still received honors. I received Who's Who Amongst American High School Students in English. Graduated Texas Recommended in high school, and then I went to the military. I was trying to follow in my big brother's steps, and he went to the Marine Corps. And so I went down to sign up for the Marine Corps, and then the Army got a hold of me. They told me that they would offer me $20,000 to sign on. And I went to the Marine Corps office, and I said, well, what's the bonus of being a Marine? And they said, your bonus for signing up for the Marines is being a Marine. That was it. So I went and got my 20 grand, did 5 years in the Army successfully. I was intelligence. I learned languages. I learned Arabic at first. Didn't do so well because I was 18, out of the house for the first time. So I sort of developed a drinking problem at the age of 18. Got pretty bad, actually. I'd miss PT. I'd miss work sometimes, skip class. It led me to a situation where I got married. I got a girl pregnant. And so we eloped at the Justice of the Peace. And we had one child who is now 17. And then we had another one 2 years later who is now 15. So after the Army, I sort of developed a problem because I left my then wife. I developed a problem that ultimately landed me in prison, indirectly. I started using drugs in the year of 2009, and it became a lifestyle to me. It didn't become just a habit, just a hobby, just a pastime. It became something that I just couldn't do without. You know, it became worse than, it was more ubiquitous in my house than oxygen. It was just everywhere, and I kept it to myself for a while. Nobody even knew, not even my brother, not my mother, not my stepfather. I tried to keep it under wraps, you know, because of mainly who my family was, and I didn't know how to deal with that. I didn't want to make a scene, really. So I tried to battle that on my own. And about 5 years into my addiction, it got to the point to where my mother had kicked me out twice, and I had lost jobs. And my brother's always been a blessing to me. He got me a couple of jobs that at the time I didn't really care for. I took it for granted. But looking back, it set me up for things in life. You know, like now I appreciate a whole lot more because of the things I've been through, and that's part of it. I got divorced, like I said, after I got out of the military, and I got remarried in 2019. Now, I didn't just get married in a local area, right? So I went to Scotland. Yeah, it's crazy, right? So myself, my wife, and 8 of our family members took a trip to Scotland. We rented a castle that was built in the 1400s. You know, it had like 16 rooms or something. It was crazy. It was huge. Anyway, so we went from Scotland to Ireland to France and England over the course of a 7-day period of time. Now, I tell you that to give you a little context about my lifestyle back then. Even though I was still on drugs, I was what I would have called functioning, or so I thought, right? At the time, little did I know, everybody knew that I had a problem. But nobody would tell me. Everybody was afraid of me. The ones that still talked to me at that time, certain family members and friends had already, you know, cut me off, cast me to the side because I just couldn't control myself. And I became a danger to them. I became a danger to everybody, you know, myself. Nobody, I wasn't a good person to be around. It was very bad. It was very bad. You know, I hadn't reached a point of desperation, so I wasn't ready to quit. And I actually looked up the definition of desperation, and it's feeling, showing, or involving a hopeless sense that a situation is so bad as to be impossible to deal with. So about recovery, there's some people in here that are familiar with what recovery is, I'm sure. You can't reach a point of recovery without willingness, and you can't reach willingness without desperation. So until you reach a point of what they call rock bottom, you never get to that. You never get to it. So I never actually reached a point of rock bottom ever until I got locked up, until it became real, you know. It was always pretend to me. It was always, this isn't going to happen to me. This isn't, you know, I felt invincible. You know, I felt untouchable. A lot of the reason why was because of how I moved, how I did things. I had rules and, you know, all sorts of things that, you know, we think are going to get us by. We think are going to let us make it. And of course, I mean, I had what I thought was, you know, family on my side. But I just couldn't get it together. So I got locked up in January of 2020. And a lot of people talk about prison and jail as this sort of confining, very restricting space. But I found freedom. I found liberty. I found life. I got locked up, and I found a way to live. And I fell in love with myself again because I hated myself. I hated the things that I had done. I lived with such regret and remorse and just such a chip on my shoulder. And I'll never forget it. It was Super Bowl Sunday, 2020, and the Chiefs had just beat the San Francisco 49ers. And I had bet a gentleman some sort of $2 bet or whatever in county, and he didn't want to pay up. So I knocked him out, and I got put into what's called discipline tank. Well, I got into another fight in discipline tank, and this is where I got humbled. So I used to think I was the baddest guy in the world. I used to think I was the toughest, you know, thing out there, until a guy who's no bigger than my pinky whipped my butt from that side of the room to that side of the room, and I was banging on the window asking to let me out. Oh man, it was crazy, very humbling, very, you know, that'll teach you humility, I promise you, because I was not a small person. And so of course they escorted me out, like 18 cops. And I got put into what's called A-row segregation. And I did 30 days by myself. And day three, and this is, there's nothing. There's no food other than what the rations they bring you. All I had was some paper. I had my linens, and I had my clothes. About day three, somebody threw a Bible into my cell. I read that Bible back to back, front to back, in about 14 days. And because that's all I had to do. Nothing. I had nothing else to do. And on the cell, there was written Psalms 23. You know, lay me down, green pasture. I'm paraphrasing. But so I read the Bible, and I came across one scripture that I'll never forget. It's actually a pillar of my personal faith. It's something that I lean on every time I think that I'm not worth it, right? Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." So as I read scriptures like that and many others, I came to the conclusion that this isn't my life, and I don't want to live it alone. You know, there's something much larger than me at play. There's something much more to live for. I wasn't living for anything, really. I was just wasting my life. So after I left that cell, I got thrown into what's called B-Pod. It's where all the violent offenders get put. And this is all God's timing. All of this whole story is about God's timing and making me rich, because I feel like I live a rich life, and I'm not talking about wallets, because I work for Eric Indian, and we all know we don't make much. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, no, but so I live a rich life. Love you, Eric. No, but I live a rich life. I do, man. I'm so blessed. I'm in a church of people that are just so accepting and just understanding. And I couldn't ask for a better place to be, really. Where was I going with that, Eric? You have no idea where I was going. Okay, so I live a rich life. Oh, man, I lost my train of thought, Eric. B-Pod, right. So I was blessed to have gotten put in B-Pod. This is, man, my life has God's hand all over it. I could give you examples and visions and things that have just happened, and it's just, it's amazing. It's miraculous. So I got put in B-Pod, and this was in March of 2020. So all the violent offenders, all the people that you might think you would have seen on a movie, the ones with the face tattoos and the attitudes, and you know they're too big for their small T-shirts, and you know all of that's going on in this area, right? So, but they understood that it was my first time, so they laced me up, they instructed me, they told me what it was, and again, this was in March of 2020. I didn't actually go to prison until December of 2020. So I had 9 months with these people. 9 months to pick their brains, to prepare myself for what I thought was going to be hell on earth. That's what I thought. But, again, God had another plan. God had another plan. This is crazy. This is miraculous. December 28th, I got sent to prison. December 28th, 3 days before my brother took office. I signed for my time December 4th. They were ready to get rid of me. They did a Christmas. They did like a Christmas chain. I don't know what happened. Anyway, so they got rid of me, and I got put at Larry Gist. While I was at Larry Gist, I was assaulted, for lack of a better term. I was assaulted by three men, three white men, because I refused to be a part of their racist organizations. I refused to join their families. And I think my actual words to them when they asked me to join their family, I told them that I had a family and I didn't want to be a part of their family. So I got beat up for it. So these three men jumped me, and I got put into a different segregation area, which allowed me to get housed in another area where I was told that I should write an I-60, which the I-60 is a request form. An I-60 is a request form that I wrote to become a trustee. So in prison, there's no better way to do your time than as a trustee. None. Like, that's it. So I wrote this I-60. And March 23rd, I got sent to the trustee camp after being in prison for less than 3 months. It's like 84 days, which is also unheard of. This God's hand all over my life again. So I got put into various jobs at the trustee camp. And one of these jobs was in the kitchen. And I was a big boy at this time. I had gained 70 pounds in Brazoria County because there's nothing to do. Nothing to do. There was no, this is during COVID, right? So all we had to do was watch TV, get on the phone, harass our families, write letters, play dominoes. So I gained a bunch of weight. So I got put in this kitchen, which actually turned out to be a blessing all to itself, because I was allowed to diet. I was allowed to get on a protein diet. I was allowed to get on the vegetables I wanted. It's just one of the better jobs in prison, in my opinion. But while I was in this kitchen, I got introduced to some gentlemen who introduced me to another unit called Carol Vance. And at this unit, I turned my life over to God. It's a prison fellowship academy. And the thing about this unit is it specializes in not warehousing the inmate, but rehabilitating the inmate. It introduces you to what and who God is. It allows for family restoration. It allows for you just to become a better version of yourself. So I took the advantage, full advantage of this opportunity. It's actually the longest program offered in prison. At the time, it was 18 months when I signed up for it, which seems like an eternity, right? But when you're looking at a 10-year sentence, 18 months is a drop in the bucket, right? No big deal. But it wound up being only a 12-month program, which in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 36, it says, I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Now, I say that because my brother came and visited me twice. And again, this is a person that whose opinion and whose opinion I valued and I respected, and who I wanted to be a part of my life now that I had become someone different. I had become Christ-like. I had become what I thought was just a better person. So I felt like, oh, well, everybody should acknowledge that, right? But it wasn't really for him to acknowledge, because there's only really two opinions that matter. It's God's opinion and my opinion of myself. And as long as his opinion is good of me, my opinion of myself will be good, right? So I do appreciate him coming. Family support is invaluable to me. I wouldn't be able to do what I do on a day-to-day basis if it wasn't for the support that I have. I have a wonderful mother, a loving aunt. I have my brother. I have Eric Indian, who sometimes I call Dad. But, you know, people like Eric Indian, you know, they're Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 talks about being the salt of the earth. You know, you are the salt of the earth. But if you lose your flavor, how will the world be seasoned? You're then good for nothing but to be cast out and trampled underfoot by men, right? Eric's one of those people. Eric is salt, just like Brad's light. You know, Brad's the first person in a very long time to actually take an interest in me. Not just my physical and mental well-being, but my spiritual fitness. And I wouldn't be where I am at today without these people in my life. And Ray, I butt heads with Ray every day. But Ray never quits. We butted heads today and then told each other we loved each other afterwards. You know, we did. But I've got so many influential people in my life. I have something to stand on now. And not just the word, but I have people in my corner. And I value that. I never thought in a million years I'd be sitting in church praising Jesus with my brother. You know, I heard him singing. You were. I know you were. Man, I've got such freedom. I've got such freedom these days, you know. Even in prison, I found freedom. I was physically confined, but spiritually and mentally free. There was nothing that these people could do to me to make me feel captive. We lived out of these bags. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you've been in prison, but so for those of you who haven't been in prison, we have these bags that are about this big. They're called chain bags. So imagine taking your 10 most important items, and that's all you have. Just put them in this bag, and that's what you live out of. You go unit to unit, place to place, dorm to dorm, bed to bed, and that's it. That's all you're afforded. You better not have three pairs of shoes, because they're going to take one. You can only have two. You know, it's things like that that give me perspective. You know, that's one of my favorite words nowadays is perspective. Because without all the things that I've been through, without the threshing floor, I wouldn't be the me that I am today. Like the last 4.5 years of my life were more productive than the previous 34. And it's no mistake that I'm speaking today and not last week. You know, I've completed level 39. I'm 39 years old. This is my first birthday being free. And I don't just mean in this world. I mean spiritually. You know, the sun sets free are free indeed. And I've got nothing shackling me. I've got no bondage. I've got things I struggle with. I've got rocks. We've all got rocks, but the difference is I've got him. You know, I realized early on in my search through the scriptures and for him that I didn't need to look for him because he was everywhere. That's it. He's sitting next to you, Heather. You know, you, Philip. Brad, he's right there by your cup. And there's nowhere he isn't. And that was a beautiful thing to me. I wouldn't trade back any of it. I wouldn't trade back anything I've ever done. I wouldn't take back any action or inaction. Because like I said, I wouldn't be in the position I am in today. You know, I have such a servant heart. All I want to do is reach out and touch somebody. That's it. That's what Jesus' message was, to be of service. That's what it was all about. Love, integrity, honesty, and being of service. Just helping someone. And I hope in the future that I'm able. I'm willing, but I hope I'm able. I hope I'm given the opportunity. I'm talking to my sister-in-law earlier, and looking forward to some of the things that she says are possible. But one of the pivotal moments in my life, I like to talk about scripture sometimes more than others, but Isaiah 30:19 through 21, and it talks about surrender. I'm going to read the scripture for you guys. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner any more, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, whenever you turn to the left. Well, now, I listened to a message by Stephen Furtick. He's from Elevation Church. And this is early on in my search. And he spoke about this scripture. And it was at a point in my life where I was on the fence. I was in between agnosticism and being a believer. And the promises. I Googled this. There's supposedly over 8,000 promises in the Bible. And to me, this is just a promise that he's got our back, no matter what. No matter what we do, as long as we're searching for him, this is the way. Walk in it. Go to the right. Go to the left. He's behind us the whole way through. There's nobody that can take that away from me. I don't get into the semantics of Greek or Hebrew or the English translations or whatever what have you. I follow this and this alone. I don't even read commentary. This is the John Maxwell Leadership Bible. Everything he talks about in here is related back to leadership principle. And it's left to our own interpretation. Right? So this is what I get out of the Bible. I get hope. Hope. That's it. I hope that in me coming up here and explaining to people that just because I grew up the way I grew up and there was other people in my house that grew up the way that they grew up, we all grew up in the same household, that anything that has happened to me can happen to anyone, including the freedom, including Christ. You know, I'm thankful. I'm blessed. I'm thankful for the struggle. That's all I got.
Awesome, brother. Awesome. Hey, we're going to pray. I've got just one thing that I wanted to share from the scripture, and then we'll say goodnight. But would you just extend a hand? You know, what he did tonight, testifying to who he is now in Christ, that the old man has passed and the new man has come, the devil hates that. And I always want to keep on the forefront of the community the reality of spiritual warfare. And there's a big target on all of our backs that profess Jesus Christ and Him risen, but especially those who can touch and to communicate and to be the light to those who are really, really lost. And Eric and Ray and Luke, and I know many of you, they're on the front lines. They're interacting with people, they're crossing paths. They are given exposure to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ that many of us will never experience or have in terms of opportunity. So I just want to take a moment and pray ministry, pray protection, pray anointing, and pray favor over Luke in this very exciting new season that he is embarking upon. So agree with me. Just lift your hand in a gesture of agreement as we pray for our brother. Heavenly Father, God, it's awesome. It's amazing. Lord, leading up to tonight, I just think of the dichotomy of the chief law enforcement officer in the same room as someone who broke that law multiple times. And today, they are both declaring you as Lord and Savior. And only God, you can do that. You can do that in any family, in any setting. God, I'm blown away at your sovereignty, your divine providence, how you had marked the entire family for your kingdom. God, thank you for that grace. Thank you for the mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your outstretched hand in all of our lives here today. But God, I am reminded again that no situation, no crime, no rebellion, no childhood is too big for you. God, you're a pursuer. You diligently pursue the lost. You will leave the 99 and go after that one. And today we are reminded of that and what happens when you get a hold of that one who has strayed. God, thank you for Luke. And I pray, Jesus, right now that you would expand his territory, that you would expand his ministry. God, that you would continue to give him a deep desire for your word. God, I know he has a great mind. He has the ability to remember things. God, and I believe that gift is from you. And God, so as he immerses himself in your holy word, God, I pray that he would be able to speak that word back in all those situations that you're going to give him, that you've already given him, many, but in the future. God, I believe it will be an expansion of that which you have given him already. God, we pray, Lord, for more divine interventions, more divine appointments, God, more favor. God, bless him and protect him. Protect him from the evil one. Turn away all those flaming arrows that want to derail, that want to lie and cheat and steal in his ear. God, let him say no in Jesus' name. And God, we pray, Lord, for protection, longevity, anointing, and favor. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you for Eric and his crew. God, they go out each and every day, different locations, interact with different people. There's different crew members, different stories, different settings. God, just bless Beautiful Lawns. Bless that business. Bless that ministry. And Lord, I know, God, we're already talking about it. We're already praying about it. Lord, maybe in the fairly new future, you will allow New Beginnings Church to birth some kind of a home, a center, a ministry, a subsequent ministry that will provide shelter, housing, maybe some transition, recovery, something, Lord, where your word can be declared, men and women can lift their voice in one accord, and that we can refer people to. God, we don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but God, I sense that you're brewing something. So Lord, we pray for that. We love you, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Didn't he do a good job? Well, I was just going to read a couple things, but it's almost already 8 o'clock. So I'm just going to leave us with this. Last couple of minutes. You heard it in my prayer. God's been stirring a lot in my heart, really, since I arrived here, but more now than ever about the expansion of New Beginnings Community Church. We're on 14 acres here. My predecessor believed that God was not only going to erect these four walls and beyond, he had an addition added on, I believe, just a few years after this structure was built. And Pastor John had communicated that there was a chunk of land for a chunk of ministry. So park that for a minute. This church, in its title and its initial vision, and what I have been getting right along with Pastor John and beyond, is that this is a place of new beginnings. No matter what has happened to you in the past, where you've been, that God is a God of second chances. God's a God of new beginnings. And this world needs that message more now than ever. I mean, addictions are pandemic. Pandemic. You want to talk about COVID? Yeah, that was a pandemic. Addiction, drug abuse, I mean, it's pandemic. And our community and surrounding communities is no different. So would you be praying in the direction of the expansion of the church, the expansion of the ministries? In the fall, I won't steal my thunder, but just in a few weeks, I'll be talking a little bit more about small groups. We're going to have more subsequent places to pray, to study God's word, to get in little huddles, but not just to stay with that, but to go out, to go out. We'll come in kind of like an aircraft carrier. We'll fuel up. We'll get some bombs. We'll get some artillery, and then we'll go out and take enemy territory. I believe that. And that's the heart of God. That's what I see the disciples in the early church. It was never meant to be just in close confinement. Yeah, you gathered with one another, but then you went out and you advanced the kingdom. You took ground. You took back ground that the enemy has taken. See, the enemy thought he had Luke locked up. And it was what the enemy thought he did to Jesus on the cross. Oh, I've killed God. Yeah. Oh, I've locked up Luke. No, that's just the beginning. And I know your stories in different ways, different places, different situations are oftentimes the same. When we feel like the enemy has got us right where he wants us, on the heels of that breakthrough, that turn, the bend in the road that comes out clearly in terms of a directive, that's our ministry. Each and every one of us. We can do this. We can do it together. God's mandated it. It's not just the great suggestion. It's the great commission to go, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to make disciples, right? To make reproductions of ourselves, to give others downloads. You've heard me say this countless times. Who's your Timothy? Who are you pouring your life into? Who are you discipling? Who are you walking shoulder to shoulder with in this world, advancing the kingdom? He wants to expand. He wants us to grow. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. So church, would you commit, just praying with me over this summer, announce the addition to the parking lot. We hope to pull the trigger on that probably sometime in July or August. That'll provide a little bit of space, but then be praying about a ministry, Nicholas's house, and other ministries, other endeavors, other things that God will release. Some of those we don't even know. We haven't even thought about yet. Some of you haven't even had that aha moment like, I can do that. That's me. I could do that. He wants us to think big, dream big, because his community needs it, and God commands it. Amen? Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the vision that you gave Pastor John, and God, that I had the awesome opportunity to step into about 2 years ago. And God, each and every person in this building and others who now call New Beginnings home, God, I pray, Jesus, that you would deposit that the visions and the dreams and the aspirations and the giftings and the ministries would start coming to life through the power of your Holy Spirit. Send us out, Lord. We don't want your son to arrive to a church that's just settled into the same old, same old. God, we want to be busy and active. God, we want to be advancing your kingdom until you say, he's returning. God, we thank you. We love you. We worship you. We do what we do because of you. Thank you for Luke again, a powerful testimony. Bless us as we go. We love you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Yeah.